Good morning and welcome to the Friday, August 28th, 2009 edition of the Investigative Journal. I'm your host, Greg Szymanski. You're listening to LibertyRadioLive.com, and my guest today is John Pugh. And John is a member, or was a member, of the Tony Alamo Ministry. I believe he still is. He can clear that up. He's going to be on with us today. I try at least once a week to update you on this story because I believe it's a very, very important story from two aspects. One, I believe we have another innocent man in jail, another political prisoner in America. And two, we still have 35 children or more from the Alamo Ministry that are still in state custody for no apparent reason, showing us that the state has basically decided to dictate how we live, how we think, how we read, how we educate our children. And one of the points, before I get to John, I'll give him a couple minutes to get on the air here and get settled. One of the important things about this story is that the Arkansas Department of Children and Family Services really has no legs to stand on in this case. They're holding these children basically to persecute this ministry for practicing their religious beliefs. Plain and simple. Tony and this ministry point out that the Vatican is the first beast, and as talked about in the book of Revelations through the three angels' messages. And the second beast being the false prophet, paying homage to the first beast, the United States government, the only power in this world that could bring about a one-world order, one-world government. That's not me talking either. They've told us that through their many, many articles, the many things that we've brought on the show, and many other researchers. It comes right from the horse's mouth. It comes right from our government. I can think of one quote that George H. Bush said, which tells exactly what their plans were. And also, if you read the many quotes I've told you about from the Roman Catholic house organs, plus their popes, they tell you exactly what their plans are. So, for doing that, this ministry has been singled out, just like others in the past have. And I wanted to mention that these children are still being held for no apparent reason. They were being educated properly. They were given a wholesome environment, and the state basically is using these tricky legal technical things to keep them in this legal matrix and to disband this ministry. It's plain and simple. I've brought that out on my show many times. I wanted to emphasize it again. And if any of you want to help to get these children out, alert people of what could happen in your community, please don't hesitate to contact their ministry, the Alamo Ministry, and give them a hand. With that, let me get to my guest. John Pugh's been was a member, I believe, and then he left, and then he came back. Got a very long, involved story that we're going to need an hour to take apart here, and John's going to tell us all about it. John, how are you this morning?
I'm doing fine, Greg.
I'm doing fine. Well, listen, no better place to start than just from the beginning. Tell us why you're on the show and your story. Go ahead. Okay, so you're still a member right now.
Oh, yes, I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh, sorry. I just wanted to clear that up. Go ahead. Yeah, right there. Let me just break in. Tell us a little bit about your life before getting with them, before joining Tony's ministry. Go ahead.
Self-gratification, basically. Had a brief stint in the military as a military intelligence soldier for about 2.5 years before I got discharged for misconduct. But I was really hooked on drugs. when I was out in...
Go ahead.
Okay, I was really hooked on drugs while I was out in California, and, you know, there was a brothers that had been out witnessing to me for about a month and a half before I finally came up to the church, and I came up to the church, I heard the word of God, the truth, the gospel is as it's supposed to be preached, you know, not sugar-coated, but the absolute 100% uncut truth. I gave my life to the Lord Jesus Christ, and as soon as I did that, this ministry, they opened the doors for me. They gave me a place to stay. They gave me a place where I could grow in the Lord, where all I had to focus on was how I served God, and they've provided everything for me since day one. They have not denied me anything, anything that I've needed, you know, and they didn't know me from Adam. They didn't know me from a hole in the wall. But all they knew was that I was saved, I wanted to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, and they bent over backwards to make sure that I felt comfortable. I had every resource I needed to grow into the Lord and every resource I needed as far as anything, medical goes, health goes, spiritual food, actual food, clothing. It didn't matter to them. It didn't matter who I was or where I came from. All that mattered was that I wanted to serve the Lord. And, you know, that's the kind of person that Tony Alamo is. He just wants souls to get saved, and he wants people to make it into the kingdom of heaven, and that's his number one goal. So for me to hear all this stuff that the media at large, you know, of course not you, but the media at large wants to say about Tony, I've had the pleasure of meeting him. I've had the pleasure of talking to him on a fairly regular basis. I mean, you hear the testimonies of other brothers and sisters who are in the ministry, and just anyone who has spent any time around the people in this church or around Tony himself knows that there's absolutely no way that any of these allegations hold any water.
Okay, I'm going to get into those specifics with you and your specific story, but before we do, excuse me, let's backtrack a little bit. Tell us about your stint in the military. I'm sure at one point you felt very loyal to your country. What changed with you? Go ahead.
Well, I joined in July of 2001. I graduated basic of October 4th, 2001. I was actually in basic training when the alleged terror attacks of 9/11 happened. And so it was a very patriotic time in the country, of course. I was 17 years old when I enlisted in the military. So as soon as that happened, all I wanted to do was serve my country, whatever was required of me. I was a 98 Juliet. It's an MOS that no longer exists. It's a non-communications intelligence intercept analyst. So I did hold a top secret clearance. I can't get into everything I did because I did sign a non-disclosure agreement upon my discharge. However, I saw a little bit more firsthand than the average soldier sees. And basically, you know, the military is just like the real world. I mean, you know, I really thought that there were people who held themselves to a higher standard of patriotism for the country, for the Constitution. And I saw a lot of phonies, I guess you could say, Greg. I saw a lot of people who were in it for themselves. Don't ask, don't tell policy. I was given orders and told to do them. And, you know, I just knew that there was something that wasn't going right with all the activities that I was involved in. It really turned me off from the military. I started losing my respect for my commanding officers, and that ended up getting me misconduct discharges. It was a general under honorable, but the point is I just wasn't going to go with the flow. I had a moral code that I lived by higher than the military code, and I wasn't going to break those moral values.
So you saw some things that weren't right. You didn't want to just blindly follow orders, and that led to your discharge.
Yes, sir.
Okay. And I think it's pretty simple for our listeners to figure out. You know, they want people in there that don't question, no matter what, whether, you know, has no moral values whatsoever. They want people in there that just follow orders, similar to what the Jesuits love to do with their priests. You don't question anything of your higher authority, no matter how evil it may be. And let's just leave it at that. So you get out of the military. A little bit about your life in California. I've said, and you come from a different generation than me, and I see, boy, I'll tell you what, the kids of today, I see a lot of, you know, no hope written across their faces. the economy, of course, is a lot worse than when I grew up and I was your age. It was a lot easier to get a job back then. I'd say even a lot easier to live. What was going through your mind when you came back? Luckily you found some people to help you. You found the Lord. But during those, just tell us what was going through your mind. Why did you really use drugs? Go ahead.
Well, Greg, I had really banked everything on serving my country. I was going in for the full 20 years plus. I'd done ROTC. That was my goal. I wanted to be a soldier from as long as I could remember. So okay. When that didn't work out, it really left me at a loss, I guess. I didn't know what I was going to do, and I bounced around from job to job with absolutely no fulfillment. And the only way to make a decent amount of money at the time was all my friends were into drugs, I was into drugs, so I figured, well, I might as well make the money for them doing the drugs. And that's how I got caught up into it. And I think that's how a lot of kids get caught up into it. They're into the lifestyle. It's promoted in everything. It's promoted in movies. It's promoted in music. It's considered an optional of, you know, another way to live life, especially out here in California. I originally come from Boston on the East Coast. Mm-hmm. And out here in California, you know, they have medical marijuana. You can go ahead and buy it in the shops and everything. It's promoted as another career opportunity, another legally protected career opportunity. And I think that really just shows the state of where the world is at this time, you know, and how deceived a lot of people are. And I was one of those people who got caught into it, and it was only a matter of time before I got caught into heavier drugs. I was, intravenously using crystal meth for quite some time until I got to the ministry. And as soon as I, you know, just to testify to the saving power of the Lord, as soon as I gave my life to the Lord, I was completely saved from that addiction. I didn't have to go through any rehabs. I didn't have to have any withdrawals. I was completely saved, you know, because there's actually people out there who were lifting up the truth. They were lifting up the truth, not just what the media and what the government force feeds the public. It was, you know, the truth, and that's exactly what I heard, and the truth set me free.
All right, so then you're now in the ministry. Tell us about those days, those first days, and your associations with the people there at the Alamo Ministry, as well as Tony. Go ahead.
Well, as soon as I joined the ministry in the Canyon Country Church out here in Santa Clarita, so Tony wasn't out here at the time because he resided in Texarkana, so I was surrounded by the brothers and sisters here, and, you know, of course, they have Tony's literature here, which are great study tools and study helps. You can really grow in the Lord from them, but I was overwhelmed by what I saw at this ministry compared to other churches I had been to and I had been around. These were people who genuinely meant what they said. They really, really cared. They were really focused on my growth in the Lord and making sure that these first few days and the first few weeks that I was really rooted and grounded, and that I didn't have to worry about anything other than my salvation and how where I stood with the Lord and how it was growing. I mean, that was it. Oh, they gave me a great place to stay, my own spot, my own little room. And the facilities here are just, they're not run-of-the-mill. They're not, you know, just, oh, you know, standard. They're, you know, the Lord has really blessed it here, and, you know, they're above par. So they just opened up their doors for me. I can't even tell you how much they did for me. I was so malnutritioned and underweight when I came here. And, yeah, I'll tell you, Tony said it before himself. If you don't, if you don't eat good here, you're not going to eat good anywhere. So, but they've just done everything for me, and they do it for everyone. There's no respect of persons here. There wasn't, you know, something about me that they decided that they were going to treat me better than anyone. They compel everyone to come in. If you ever read any of Tony's literature, it says right on the back that anyone who really wants to serve the Lord, they provide all things necessary. So that's, you know, it's very scriptural
now,
here. It's right out of the book of Acts.
One thing I wanted to emphasize is that in all these media articles, in the mainstream media, whether it be in the Texarkana papers or on CNN or Fox, places like Tony's Ministry, the FLDS Church, other places, have always been depicted as a cult. And I've done articles on really what a cult is, and your organization by no means fits that bill. But I wanted you to address this because I think people need to hear it from people there. When you call any people around in Texarkana or whatever, they just say, well, you know, these guys are just nothing more than cult. And they hear that word. They hear compound. They hear all these things that the media puts in their head without really understanding. And I wanted you to clear that up, because do you feel during your stay there that there's been any kind of mind control influence on you? Have you been your free choice being stripped away so that people can understand this is a clear choice of you, an individual? Or was it a group method to basically control your thoughts, words, and actions? Just address that, because I believe it's important. Go ahead.
You know, that's one of the things that really aggravates me the most, Greg, is when I hear people refer to this ministry, this work of the Lord, as a cult. Tony wasn't even out here when I got saved. It was months before I was, able to meet him personally. And, we go out to Hollywood Boulevard every day, and we witness the people. We go out all over California and distribute gospel literature. And, I go into all kinds of stores. We're in Hollywood with other brothers who have only been in the church for a couple of years. There's nobody watching us to see what we're doing. There's nobody, you know, who's looking over our shoulder. Who are we talking to? What are we doing? You people can come and go as they please here. I mean, I did leave the church for a short stint for about a couple months, actually, before I went to jail, which is deeper into the story, for some stuff I had done a few years before I came to the church. And when I called Tony up and told him I wanted to leave, he asked me why. I said, well, I wanted to go see some family out west. He goes, okay, adios. And that's how it was. You know, it wasn't a whole, oh, you're doing this wrong, it's doing that. He just asked me why, and I told him. And, you know, he provided the means of the ticket for me to get from Texarkana to Arizona. And it wasn't a hassle for me. It wasn't a problem. It wasn't any persecution.
So they even provided your means to go to leave.
Yeah, he asked me where I wanted to go. He asked me where I wanted to go. It wasn't, oh, you want to leave? Well, there's the door. Pack your bags and hitchhike. No, it wasn't anything like that at all. It was wherever I wanted to go, you know, just telling where I wanted to go. He provided the means for me to go there, and that was it, you know. There's no locks on the door here. You know, people can come and go as they please. Believe me, I have seen people come and go from this church. I've seen, trust me, there's no holds barred here. There's no one trying to keep people here. We want people who are sincerely have a heart for the Lord and want to serve the Lord here. And that's what it's about. I mean, I heard an interview you had with the sister we have in the church who is in and out of the ministry herself. There's absolutely no restrictions on us other than that if we're going to be here, you know, we have to serve the Lord. We have to live by the Word of God. And that's it. That's it. That's the standard we're held to, is the Word of God here. And that's the only standard that we're held to, is the Word of God.
And I think that's one of the reasons that powers that be object to what you're doing. They'd rather have you bow down to state authority, whether it be right or wrong, which it boils down to that. Now, before we've got about 5 minutes here before the break. Second half hour I want to spend with the particulars of your story, how this relates to certain things that happened to you after you left regarding Tony's case. But first of all, tell me, during the time you've been in this ministry, have you seen any child abuse whatsoever?
Oh, absolutely not. It's quite the opposite, Greg. I mean, when you see the kids in this church and you see the way that they're growing up and you see the smiles on their face, Hollywood couldn't make it look any more blessed. I mean, you can't fake the joy that these kids have and the happiness that they have. I mean, and they're so smart, Greg. I can't even tell you how smart that these kids are. I wish that I was able to grow up in a place like this. I wish that I was able to grow up with the education that they have, because these are truly blessed children. I've never seen happier children. I've never seen, they look so healthy. They're given the best of everything. This ministry it's no holds barred, again, as far as the children go. They're given everything. They're given such great opportunities. You've had people on the show that have grown up in the ministry, and, you know, anybody who's heard them talk, they know that they are definitely far from uneducated or illiterate. They are very well educated. It's just a blessing. I really, you know, I want to raise my kids here. When I have kids, I want my kids to be raised here. I couldn't think of anywhere else that would be better to raise children than in this ministry.
Now, the question I have, when you what's your thoughts about this raid? Quickly, about what they did to the children, and as far as what happened to Tony, you've been right through it. Tell us, tell me your thoughts about it and why they did it.
You know, they just did it because they wanted to turn people off from the ministry. They want to make sure that as soon as people see the literature that's being passed out that's exposing the truth or who's behind this, that exposes the Vatican, that pulls the curtain back, they want to make sure that as soon as people see the name Tony Alamo, that as soon as people realize it's from this ministry, that they completely throw the literature down, they completely turn away from it, that they don't even read it, because they know that anybody who has half a brain, who reads it, who sees the references, who gets a little bit into it, is going to be exposed to the truth, and they don't want that. So they're absolutely out to discredit the ministry, they're absolutely out to discredit the members of the church, and it's just slander. You know, bold-faced slander, flat out. That's what their object is to do, that they want to make sure that we're discredited 100% so that they, anything that someone tells them, they don't have to hear. Anything that they read, they're immediately going to put down. If we talk to them, we're just mindless robots who follow Tony, not the Lord. And, you know, anything that's written in these pamphlets is just, you know, ranting and raving of some conspiracy theorist. But the fact is, it's 100% the truth, and that's why that they did this raid. That's why they discredited everyone, because no one has been attacking them and exposing them for as long as Tony really has, in the way that he has, and it's really starting to get to him.
Yeah, and I think you're right there, and I just wanted our listeners to understand that. And let me just say this. We have a couple minutes before the break, and in the second half hour, I really want to get into the particulars of your story. But, you know, I do a lot of radio interviews, and you're a young man, a well-spoken young man, and I really am so happy that you didn't go down those other two roads that would have led you right to, boy, I'll tell you, you might not even be around today. And I think you have a beautiful life ahead of you. You're well-spoken, and I really wish the best for you, and I can hear it in your voice. And I'm so happy that you got off drugs. I'm so happy that you just didn't follow that immoral code that they were telling you in this military. I remember once I sat with a friend's son when he was just about to go into the National Guard, and I really tried to explain to him the other side of the story. I know he still went in, but I am so, you know, if we could save just one person from going to die needlessly for these evil and wicked people, and to see you just after a couple years turn out the way you have, boy, you have so much good to give, and so many people are going to benefit from you. I can hear it in your voice, and I just wanted to say that because it's important, because there are many other people out there just your age that aren't going to get this opportunity. Your thoughts about some of the fellow people that you were with, just your generation in general. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I have a lot of friends that I did make while I was in the service. You know, so you do have certain bonds that you grow with people when you go through certain training, and of course, and you know, I just really hope that they'll come to the truth. I really tried to share the truth with them. They haven't all received it, and you know, when a few of my friends got out of the service, they went into organizations such as the U.S. Marshals and the FBI. So I just hope that maybe what they'll see there will reveal to them the truth, and that they can, you know.
Okay, John, we're going to break here for 3 minutes. You just stay on the line. We'll be back with John Q in 3 minutes.
I pledge allegiance to the King of Kings and to his kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. One holy nation, under heavenly Father, grace, mercy, justice for all.
Don't buy the sizzle of that steak until you understand the cost. In other words, don't buy the hype being dispensed by the rare coin pitchman of the alternative media until you understand the full story. FlyingEagleGold.com. offers the most private, non-confiscable gold and silver coinage in the world. At very competitive cost, Jeffrey Bennett has been a purveyor of wealth protection, gold and silver bullion, and rare collectible coins for over 17 years. His personal experience reaches back to 1958, and he takes personal pride in putting your interests ahead of all else. To hear the whole story, not the hard sell, you're invited to call Flying Eagle Gold at 623-327-1778. That's 623-327-1778 for the truth about protecting your wealth. Join Jeffrey Bennett each day, Monday through Friday, when he hosts right here on LibertyRadioLive.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President of the United States in 1963.
The very word secrecy is repugnant in a free and open society. And we are, as a people, inherently and historically opposed to secret societies, to secret oaths, and to secret proceedings. For we are opposed around the world by a monolithic and ruthless conspiracy that relies primarily on covert means for expanding its sphere of influence, on infiltration instead of invasion, on subversion instead of elections, on intimidation instead of free choice. It is a system which has conscripted vast human and material resources into the building of a tightly knit, highly efficient machine that combines military, diplomatic, intelligence, economic, scientific, and political operations. Its preparations are concealed, not published. Its mistakes are buried, not headlined. Its dissenters are silenced, not praised. No expenditure is questioned, no secret is revealed. That is why the Athenian lawmaker Solon decreed it a crime for any citizen to shrink from controversy. I am asking your help in the tremendous task of informing and alerting the American people, confident that with your help, man will be what he was born to be, free and independent.
Ladies and gentlemen, the President today.
You were both in Skull and Bones, the secret society.
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
I've got a vision for what I want to do for the country. See, I know exactly where I want to lead. It's so secret we can't talk about it.
What does that mean for America?
Some of them are living an illusion, bounded by the darkness of their minds. In their eyes it's nation against nation.
Okay, we're back on the Investigative Journal for our final half hour. I just wanted to mention before I get back to John, I'm on every day from Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. Central to 10 a.m. You can catch my show at LibertyRadioLive.com. Okay, John, I don't want to waste another second here. I want to get to this story, the particulars, when you left the ministry and what happened to you and how this relates to the Tony Alamo case. Go ahead.
I left the ministry and in April of 2008, April 14th of 2008, and I had a warrant out of the state of Massachusetts, the state of New Hampshire, for intent to distribute marijuana, as well as $300 worth of bad checks. Like I said, I had a drug problem, you know, and that's what they were related to, me being able to satisfy my addiction. After I left the ministry, I was out for about a month, for about 36 days, before I got picked up on these warrants. And I was extradited from Los Angeles to the state of Massachusetts, where I did a total of between both states 10 months. But I did 5 of those months in the state of Massachusetts. And while I was there, I had contacted the ministry for some of their literatures to pass out on the cell blocks to the people who were there, who were open to receiving the gospel. After about a week, after I put that request in for the literature, it was answered immediately. I got called to a visit. And of course, me not having been in Massachusetts for a while, I didn't have anyone on my visitors list. I thought that was somewhat odd, and it wasn't the normal visiting hours at all. So I was, pulled off the block. I was brought to a private visiting room that's usually reserved for lawyer visits. You know, there's no recording allowed in there. There's no sound devices of any kind. And when I was in there, I was greeted by two men who told me that they were from the Federal Bureau of Investigation and that they were concerned. They heard that I had been involved with Tony Alamo and his ministry, and that they were very interested in my involvement and anything that I could tell them, which didn't make sense to me because I really didn't know anything that I could tell them that would be pertinent to the FBI. You know, mm-hmm. I never saw anything that would warrant any need for information. But after that, they basically told me that they had a pending investigation against Pastor Alamo, and this was in August of 2008. This is prior to the raid.
Okay.
They had a pending investigation that my testimony would be very valuable and very useful to them. Mm-hmm. And they also had a cover story that I was to go along with to validate my testimony.
Okay, now wait a minute. Now, explain that so we understand what you mean. Go ahead.
Well, basically, they weren't really concerned with anything that I had to tell them with the ministry. They had their own story that they wanted me to go along with. And they were going to provide a background for me to make it a more believable story. I wasn't presented with the exact testimony or with the exact story that they wanted me to sign off on and confirm. But what they did tell me was that they wanted to say that I was a planted federal agent that was planted into the ministry on purpose, and that they were actually going to go ahead and say that I was a continuation of military service, because my prior military service, my clearance and everything would go ahead and it would make it look like I was supposed to be there for the government. And it would just, of course, if I were to get on the stand with something like that, the way that the media handles everything, they could have just run rampant on that.
So they obviously checked out your background, right?
Oh, yeah, I'm sure they checked out my background very well before they came and talked to me. They knew who I was. They knew where I was. I'm sure they did a little bit of anyone who's been in the service. The FBI was the ones who did my background check to authorize me for my top secret clearance. So I'm sure they had a little file somewhere on me in their office.
Yeah, I'm just interested. So they want you to make up a story that's not true. And how did they present that to you, though?
Well, the way that they did it was basically they said that I was a victim. They said that, they knew that, I was going through a rough time in my life, and that, this ministry was designed and built to prey on people in their time of weakness, and that, my heart was in the right place. I was just taking advantage of this group, and it was, I don't know what they thought, maybe why I left the church. They thought I had a problem or an issue with the doctrine or something here, which was definitely not the case. But, they just tried to paint it like, it's poor me. I was taken advantage of, and they offered to, this is the exact quote now, they offered to, quote, intercede on my legal matters on my behalf pending my full cooperation.
So basically, they told you, if you lie, we'll just get all these charges dropped.
Yeah, they would get. Not only would they get the charges dropped, which I was already sentenced on,
mm-hmm.
but they would
they'll go along with the story, which is basically lying about the truth. Go ahead.
Yeah, they just wanted me to go with the grain, and they would also take care of my legal record in general. I wouldn't mm-hmm. have a criminal record at all anymore. Was the way that they had painted the picture for me. And, as soon as that happened, Greg, what you learn in this ministry, you read the tracts, and what you know from, I've listened to your program for a couple of years as well. I just, anyone who has any knowledge of the truth and the way that this government works firsthand is, I knew something was wrong right then, right there immediately. And I'm a born-again Christian. I'm not going to lie, and I'm definitely not going to lie against, one of God's pastors. I'm definitely not going to go, especially someone who's preaching the truth and the power of the Holy Spirit, like Tony Alamo does. I know enough about how the government works prior to coming into this ministry, and just more so how you learn, after the truth is brought to you, after they've been exposed through programs like yours and through the teachings of Pastor Alamo, there's no way that I was going to go along with anything like that.
All right, so tell me what happened after that. What did you do? What did they do?
Well, what they ended up doing after that was they were not very happy with me not going along with the, not going with the flow, as you would say. So what they decided to do was, there was a lot of literature that I had from this ministry that was on the cell blocks, Bibles, all that stuff is free to anyone that wants it.
Did you just tell them, look, I'm not going to go along, I'm not going to lie? What did you say to them?
Basically, I was like, you folks really want my testimony? And I said, yes, that's why we're here. So I gave them the testimony of how I came to the Lord, how the Lord saved me, and how this ministry has been nothing but good to me. I spoke of God's glory. And, man, that really got their goat. They were not happy with me whatsoever. Because of that, I called for a guard immediately, because there was no guard present at the time. I didn't want anything to do with them anymore. I just got a really, really, you know, bad vibe in my spirit because of it. And immediately, anything that was on that cell block, they did an entire search. They turned it upside down, and anything from this ministry, any of our books or pamphlets, you know, the gospel literature, the Bibles that are, you know, freely provided by this ministry, they gathered all of them up off of the cell block. They said that they were contraband. They threatened anybody that was caught with any of this literature. They said that they were going to give them additional charges on and after, which means after they wrapped up whatever charge that they were there for, that they were going to charge them additionally. And what they did with me was they immediately separated me from the rest of the cell block. I was placed in a solitary confinement, and they said that the reason for me being in solitary confinement was attempting to incite a riot.
Okay.
So
I
finished up my time in that institution in solitary confinement away from any other prisoners that I might be able to witness to and pass out literature. And they made sure that I was very isolated, very separate for my last 30 days there.
Okay, so how long were you in solitary now, 30 days?
I was there for 30 days.
Okay, tell us what during those 30 days, what happened during those 30 days? Basically, you didn't see anybody, didn't talk to anybody?
I haven't heard from the FBI or anyone claiming to be the FBI since. Very little contact. They made sure that the cells next to me remained empty, so that I wouldn't be able to converse with anybody. I did send out more requests for literature to the ministry, letters to the church to let them know what had happened, and I never heard a response, so I can only assume where that mail ended up. Or if any mail from the church was addressed to me, I can only assume that it never got to me on purpose. They wanted to make sure that any of these pieces of literature that was exposing what was really going on, that it wasn't in my hands, that I couldn't use it as a tool, that I couldn't pass it on to anybody else. That was their main goal. They were really, really, really adamant about making sure that that literature was not in that institution.
Mm-hmm. And so you spent 30 days in solitary. What happened after that?
After that, I was transported to another institution in New Hampshire, where I was there for a few months, and then I was released. As soon as I was released, I got back into contact personally with the ministry, told them that I wanted to come back, and they opened the doors for me without haste. I mean, I was told, yeah, go ahead, come on back. And I came on back, and I've been here ever since, and I'm going to stay here.
Was that after the raid then? Was that after the raid or before the raid?
That was after the raid. There's actually been a few raids. I guess they've come in on our properties more than once, you know, in California as well as in Texarkana, so.
Okay.
Looking for the children. I wasn't there for any of the raids, so.
All right. So you get out, you go back to the ministry. Why don't you just, you know, if you could tell us, since then, what has changed at the ministry? I'm sure the people, and I've talked to many people, they've told me they're remaining strong against this, but have you seen many people leave? What's the climate there so people understand the effects of this raid and Tony's incarceration? Go ahead.
Well, you know, we have a lot of brothers and sisters who have been in this ministry for, you know, 38 years, 30 years, 25 years, and the church, in some aspects, as far as the logistics of it, can run itself, as far as picking up guests to come to services, continuing to preach the gospel the way that we've learned through the Word of God and through our pastor's teachings. I mean, of course, there are just some in-depth things that, without having Tony as easily to access as before, you know, is the issue. But, you know, we're here for the Lord. We're in this ministry to serve the living God. We're not in this ministry to serve Tony Alamo. He's just the man that the Lord has put us under to guide us in the ways of the Lord, in spirit and truth, rightly dividing the word. But we're here for Jesus Christ. We're here to promote the gospel. We're here to compel souls to get saved, to let people know the truth of what's going on. And that's what we intend to do. We're still passing out the literature. We're still witnessing. We're still testifying to the Lord. And that nothing's going to change. Nothing's going to change. We're here for the Lord. No matter what happens, we're going to all do it till either the Lord comes back or till the day that we die. And unfortunately, I don't think that they realize that. I don't think that they realize the sincerity every true born-again Christian has for the Lord. They think that they're going to scare people away. And they might scare people away, some of them who weren't sincere in the first place. But other than that, you know, the people who have decided to stay and make a stand to serve the Lord, we're going to be here, and we're going to pass out the literature. We're going to go ahead and testify to the power of the living God, and that's what we're here for. And I think the Lord, I know the Lord, is going to honor that.
And, you know, one important thing that, you know, I mentioned, I think, on a show before, I said that, you know, even prior to us knowing, or people out there, God understands and Jesus understands who his people are, even before we know it. And, you know, there's so many people. He knows that there's so many people that are Roman Catholics today. There's so many Buddhist Hindus that are his people. Some of them are his people. He knows who they are. And he wants people to get out of those beasts. He wants people to come closer to him. And I see your ministry as a way to call some of these people out, to help them, to nudge them a little closer to God so they can get a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And I really believe that the Vatican, who's basically the Antichrist and the government working for them, will do everything under its power to keep people from any type of chance of getting a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, they will go to such extremes, as history has shown us, to create genocides, where they will kill every so many years. They go on a killing spree. For example, in Croatia, where over 800,000 people were killed. It's not a political struggle, folks. It was a religious instigated struggle behind the scenes, just like every other war in this modern times, going back from the American Revolution, the French Revolution, on till today. And if you start really researching it, when they can't convince people, they will basically then rely on genocide and mass murder. What's your thoughts about that?
Well, that's absolutely right. One of the things that I realized when I was in the service was that I wasn't fighting for my country, Greg. I was fighting for the men who were in charge of my country. And it was a very different thing than fighting for the U.S. Constitution. In fact, I was doing things that were probably against the U.S. Constitution. We had a motto in military intelligence, I believe they have in another part of the service too, out of sight, out of mind. And that's really how the government is. And that's really how the people of this country, unfortunately, as a majority, have become. As long as they don't have to face the reality and it doesn't affect them personally on a day-to-day basis, they're fine. They like being fed what they get out of the media. They just, as long as they're told everything's good, and they're told that everything's going to be okay, and they don't have to firsthand see it, you know, they're fine. They're ignorant to things that are going on and are very prevalent all over the world. They're very ignorant to things that have happened in the not-too-distant past. Like you said, in Croatia with the Ustashi soldiers. It's amazing how many people are ignorant to things that are so well known in other parts of the world that the Vatican has their hands in. And unfortunately, there's nobody trying to get that message out here other than you, Mr. Alamo, and a handful of other people that I'm assuming a handful of other people. I don't even know them.
Yeah, there are. There's a number of others, and it's a very small group. But then again, the truth has a way of spreading quickly once, and I always say this, if you're a listener out there, tell somebody else. And then once one person hears it, another person, It's the only way, because you cannot fight City Hall, so to speak. There's no way to. Look, I come from a media background. I used to work as a reporter in the mainstream. If I could do this in the mainstream media, you bet I would be doing it, because I could reach more people. But I can't. This message cannot get out. And I wonder why, you know, just for you people out there don't know about it. Why? I mean, is it something so wrong to want to present these stories about history that show you how the Vatican, through its agents and our government and others, have killed millions of people? I mean, don't people want to know that? Well, the point you just made was so important, because what happens here is that we have people in this country, like you said, out of sight, out of mind. They're told everything's fine. They don't see what goes on in the rest of the world. And if it doesn't happen here, well, America's fighting for freedom. It's not true. And when it comes to our doorstep, people are going to be devastated, just like they were in Germany, because the same thing happened there. People thought everything was fine in Germany before, even with Hitler in power. Many people bought his game hook, line, and sinker, and that's why they buy our government officials today. Same MO. Here's the point. If it happened in Germany, it can happen again. And if people here remain ignorant of history, it will happen again, right?
Oh, definitely. I mean, history, it's in the Bible. History repeats itself. It's really the same trick that's happened over and over again. You know, with what happened in 9/11, with what happened in Germany, to get the war started, how they accused the Jews of the bombing of that building to go ahead and get the country. It's exactly the same thing. They parallel so identical that it's almost anybody who's paid any attention to it can see it clear as day. But so many people are ignorant to it. They're not very educated on it. And no one wants to believe. I understand no patriotic American wants to believe that our country could have had anything to do with those attacks in 9/11 and that we could have killed our own. But what they have to understand is the people who are in power are not our fellow countrymen. They are not citizens and servants of the United States of America. They are first and foremost citizens and servants of the Vatican and the Catholic Church. And they're under the guise of true Americans and patriotism. And that's the main thing that we have to realize. We're not being led by Americans anymore. We're being led by people who are just claiming to be patriots. But really, their goals, their agendas are far, far from protecting and upholding the Constitution of the United States.
Yeah, you're absolutely right, and that was very well said. People out there realize, the point I tried to make here is that there are many people, you can go to the Patriot Movement, there are millions and millions of people who basically understand the government's corrupt, but they don't go any farther than that and think it can be corrected by just changing the guard. It's not true. You can basically get rid of Obama, Bush, and they'll always have another one waiting. And until we get to the root of the problem, I don't think there's a solution. What do you think?
That's absolutely right. You know, if you don't take care of the problem, there's not going to be a solution. It's just like, basically, they want to feed you sugar. They want to give you something sweet. How do you want your sugar? Do you want it in soda? Do you want a candy bar? Do you want a cookie? What kind of packaging do you want me to put it in? I'll put it in just to appease you. But the fact is, when you get bottom line, it's still going to be sugar. It's still just to give you a little bit of a sweet tooth. It's not to give you anything nutritious. It's not to give you what you're going to need spiritually, physically, or anything else. It's just to appease you at that time. It's a feel-good. As long as they can have the American citizens feeling good, and what's going on overseas. Oh, we're making progress. I mean, I heard plenty about bringing soldiers home from over there, but all I hear, during the election, but all you hear about now is, they need more soldiers in Afghanistan. Is Iraq really ready? It's just, they tell you what they want you to hear. You go ahead, you vote for it. The big thing during the election was change. Let me tell you something. Bush was out of office. You were going to get a new person anyway. There was going to be change. You ask somebody the changes they wanted, they'll probably be like, what? You know, they don't really know what they were voting for. They just wanted to be part of something they felt was historical. Mm-hmm. There's no meat to it, Greg. There's absolutely no meat to what's going on. There's no desire, unfortunately, I feel, from people to really find out what's going on, because I think they feel if they do find out that they're going to be helpless to do anything about it. And people don't want to feel helpless. And that's bottom line. If they want to feel like they have some limit of control over their life, and that's what it is. They don't want to feel helpless, because if they're forced to face the reality of who's really running the country and the things that are really going on, they're going to feel it's bigger than them because they don't have the Lord. If they had the Lord, they know that we're more than conquerors through Christ who strengthens us. But they don't have that faith to lean on, a lot of them. And so therefore, it seems way bigger than they are, and they just don't even want to find out.
Yeah, and you know something, it's interesting. We got a couple of few minutes left. I'd like to end on this note, and that is, you know, we do everything for the glory of God, Jesus Christ. And, you know, how have you changed? I mean, just in a couple minutes to tell people, because many people are kind of on this borderline of, well, you know, I do believe in Jesus, but, you know, what else? I mean, there's a total commitment, a friend out there you can talk to, and it's a personal relationship, correct? And how have you changed since then when you have him as your friend and your buddy?
Well, you know, one of the greatest things about being a Christian and being washed in the blood that Christ shed on the cross at Calvary is the promises that you have in his word. And he promises you rest, he promises you peace, he promises you that he will be there with you through everything. And he doesn't promise you that everything is going to be okay and fine and dandy. In fact, it's quite the opposite. He promises that you will be hated and that you will be persecuted, but he promises that he'll get you through it. And that's the rest that I have, Greg, because there's nothing that anybody in this government, anyone in this world can do that's going to take the kingdom of heaven away from me. There's no one that can take that away from me but me. And that's the peace and the rest that I have. That's the joy that I have. No one can take away what the Lord has given me as long as I stay in his spirit and keep the commandments. And that's what people have to realize. You know, we can rest on the Almighty God. We have an eternal Father in heaven who has created everything. There are no limitations for him. And all he wants us to do is to lean on the promises that he's given us. And I think, you know, a lot of people don't realize the promises because they don't read the Word, or the people that are breaking down the Word aren't being truthful to them. They're more concerned, of course, with their ties, and they don't want to persecute people. They want to make sure they get people to stay in the seats there. They don't want to maybe say something that might make someone be offended. Oh, well, I can't be a drunk. I don't want to be here. Oh, I can't commit adultery. I have to be married to commit fornication, you know, or it's fornication. People don't want to hear that. So a lot of people don't preach that. But once you hear the truth, the whole truth, like I said before, like it says in the scriptures, the truth will set you free.
Right, and I remember as a former Roman Catholic, there were so many things I had to do. I had to say this, I had to do the Stations of the Cross. I felt burdened all the time, and what a wonderful feeling it was to just have a friend in Jesus. And to just talk with him, as if I was talking to just my old buddy from high school or something. And I'm sure you feel the same way.
Yeah, there's nothing that can replace the fact, you know, that the Lord of Lords inclines his ear to hear what I have to say, that anything I have to say to him is of the utmost value and importance to him. And it's not about any rituals that I can do or how many times I can pray the same prayer, but he wants to talk to me and have a personal relationship with me. And that's what he wants to do. He wants to be a father and a brother to you. He wants to guide you, and he just wants to give you everything that you want. He just wants you to obey him and keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And just to have that relationship with God is, you're never going to have that relationship with anyone else.
Well, listen, John, we're all out of time, so I want to thank you and relate to all your friends.